So, do any of you know the movie Indiana Jones? Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. You ever seen that? It's a serious question. Serious. I'm not going to judge you if you haven't, but I'm... No, I'm not. I'm not. Well, anyway, in that movie, I don't know if you remember, but... Indiana Jones and his friend Sala, they find they're on the search for the Ark of the Covenant to get to it before the Nazis get to it, right? And so they find this, they go on this expedition, they find out where the Ark of the Covenant is. It's in this place called the Well of Souls. And so they go and they find this location, and Indiana Jones and Sala, they look down into this pit, this dark pit, and they look down in this ancient room, but it looked like the ground was moving. And so instead of just jumping into that unknown, that darkness, all of that, where the ground is moving, they start dropping torches in there to kind of shed a little light on the situation. And as they do that, the light reveals that the floor is not moving, but it's actually covered in snakes that are slithering. And so everybody who doesn't like snakes right now is like, Pastor Chris, shut up, right? And what does Indiana Jones do? This guy who has no fear has one fear, and it's snakes. And he says, snakes. Why'd it have to be snakes? You know? The one thing he feared is there, standing between him and the Ark of the Covenant, okay? And it's snakes. Why'd it have to be snakes? And I imagine that the Israelites in the desert, that some of them said the same exact thing when these snakes entered their camp. These poisonous snakes. They were afraid. Why did it have to be snakes? And this passage, and I'm just going to be honest, I'm going to put that there for a second. This passage that we read is a little strange, isn't it? Like, it's a strange passage. And not to get too bogged down in that, what we're going to focus on this morning is just faith. That's what this message is called within this sermon series, From the Promise to the Palms. We're talking about faith. And faith is so key. It is absolutely key to our discipleship, to our following God. We absolutely have to have faith. We need it to be a follower of Christ because we are saved by faith through God's grace. And next week we're going to talk about grace. And in this passage from Numbers, what we see is faith. We see the Israelites sin. How do they sin? They sin by cursing God. They sin by cursing God and all of the provisions. Now, we went through Exodus a little last year, a little bit, and we found that the Israelites curse God a lot, right? That they get angry, they get upset, they start complaining about things, and then, bad things happen. And so here is no different, really. They start cursing God and what God's provided them. They say, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food, the food that God has provided for them. And so they see that. And we know that when we sin, the wages of sin is death. Paul writes that in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. He says, the wages of sin is death. And so what happens? The snakes come, they bite people, some people die, but they actually repent. They repent. They go and they say in verse 7, the people came to Moses and said, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. Pray that the Lord would take the snakes away from us. And so Moses prays for the people. He prays for the people, just like they ask. And God responds. Now, look at how God responds in this situation, okay? Look at this. Like God says in verse 8 of Numbers chapter 21, make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. Essentially, God tells Moses to make a statue and to tell people if they just look at that statue that they're going to live. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have a hard time having faith that that's going to work, right? Like, let's just be honest, okay? The statue's going to save me, you know, on this pole. I'm going to look at this thing, and I just got bit by a poisonous snake, and I'm going to live. Okay, it's strange, but don't miss this. They asked that the snakes would just go away, and God provides a way for them to be healed. God provides life to them. They just want the snakes to go away. They're not concerned about the people who have already been bitten. They're going to die. But God says, just look at the snake and you'll live. It's more than they ask for. God responds in a strange way, maybe we might think, but in a way that gives them life when they face death, a merciful way. So don't miss that. Don't miss that. And also notice that... That it doesn't say that, and everyone was healed. It doesn't say that, and everyone who was bitten lived. Maybe there were some people who were like, I'm not looking at that snake. How's that going to work? And then they're dead, right? Like, I mean, can you imagine seeing that? I can. You know, you've got the answer right there to living. And you're like, that doesn't make any sense. And then you just fall out. They didn't gaze upon the snake. It doesn't say that everyone lived. But maybe some died still because they didn't take the provision that God had given them to have life. They didn't do what he said. They didn't gaze upon that bronze snake. And so maybe you're asking, especially if you don't like snakes, why are we talking so much about snakes, Pastor Chris? Maybe you're saying, snake, why did it have to be snakes? I don't like snakes at all. But we have to look at that passage because we got to look at the John 3 passage. Right off in that gospel passage, in verse 14, it says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. That everyone who believes may have eternal life. And it goes on, and I know some of you, Karen shared a very personal story with me about John 3:16. Before the service, you know, 3:16, John 3:16, that is a passage that many of us know. And we read it, we say, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But we forget verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. It's a provision out of goodness, more than we could have expected. God didn't send the Son to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And so we got to gaze upon him. We got to look to him. Now this is a representation, and I had Mike raise up the screen because I wanted us to look at Jesus. Now that's not Jesus. I don't know if you know this, but that's not really Jesus up there. We don't really know what Jesus actually looked like. But maybe he looked like that. But we got to look at Jesus. We got to gaze upon him. We have to believe. And believing means we have to put our trust in him. Right? We got to put our trust in him. It's trusting God when he says he wants to do something, when God has done something. God gave the Israelites that crazy sign of a snake on a pole. And if they looked at that out of faith, they would be saved, they would be healed, they would be given life where they would have received death as a consequence of their sin. And in the same way, we got to gaze upon Jesus. We got to look to Jesus. We got to trust in Jesus. We got to trust that God really does want to save the world through Jesus. And some of the times that's hard for us. Because we wanna do things our way, don't we? We want to look at ourselves like we have the answers, like we know what the answer is to our salvation, that we know how we're going to have life. We put conditions on how God would act and who God would act in. And when we do those sorts of things, we're not exhibiting that faith that God calls us to have. We're saying, that doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. We're forgetting that God loves the world enough to send his son into the world, not to condemn it, not to bring death, not to let us keep living in our sin, and again, the consequence of that sin, which is death, but that God actually sent the son into the world to save us, to give us life. And we may say, why did it have to be a snake, like Indiana Jones? Why did it have to be snakes? And some of us may have questioned at times, why did Jesus have to die? We may have been in experiences where we've seen tremendous suffering, tremendous pain, tremendous, all of those things that makes us question God, and we may have seen that. And we wonder, why would God do this? And we wonder what it means, and it might not make sense to us. Often it doesn't, but at the end of the day, God isn't asking us to make sense of it. He's not asking the Israelites to say, well, how does this bronze serpent save them from their bites? He's not saying make sense of it. He says, gaze upon it, and you will have life. In the same way, God is saying, gaze upon him, and you will have life. Have faith. Trust Jesus. So, I fear that we forget that sometimes. I fear that we forget that sometimes. That sometimes we forget that we're to gaze upon Jesus. That in the midst of all of those things that we have going on, all of the pains that we've experienced, all of the suffering that we're currently experiencing, all of the, you know, whatever it is, even the joy that we're experiencing, we're forgetting to gaze upon Jesus. And I really felt convicted this week. Because most of you know, but we know that we're going to go through some changes here at Orms, that this body is going to go through some changes in the coming months. Right? Many of you know that I've been reappointed as a pastor at another church in the coming months. And if you didn't know that, now you know. And I'm sorry that that was the way, but there are going to be changes. And you know what? Change is scary. Change often brings out those things inside of us that we hold on to and that we keep quiet. And then all of a sudden we face change and we're scared. We're scared of what it means. And so that's true. We're leaving as of July 1st. We're going to a new church. And it's true then that this church, the Orms United Methodist Church, not the buildings, forget the buildings for a minute. This church, this body of believers, is going to have a new pastor as of July 1st. That's true. That's how the United Methodist system works. It's tough. It's tough. But God works in it, I believe. That's the itinerant system. But the truth is, and you got to hear this, because I love you. You know that. I hope to God that you know how much I love you. Is that I am no one special for those of you who have said, I'm going to miss you. I love that. I appreciate that. That's a lot better than being kicked out the door. See ya. It's not that, and I appreciate that. But I am no one special.
You are awesome.
Thank you. But I beg you, and I appeal to you in the name of Jesus, in the faith of Christ, that whoever that new pastor is, that you would not put conditions on who that new pastor is or who you think that new pastor should be or any of those things or whatever. You know, I was really convicted that I know that there's been things in the past that have hurt people. People get hurt at church all the time. But God said, you know, in this passage that I was reading, he didn't say it, I didn't hear it, but it just said, stop focusing on the bite and focus on Christ. That in the midst of change, in the midst of pain, it's so easy to say, it's so hard to do, but God will help you do it. And God, appealing with Paul, wanted me to say this, I think, too. I didn't save you. Reverend Ann didn't save you. Reverend Lynn, Pastor Ann, Reverend Shank, any of the previous pastors, we didn't save you. Jesus, if you came into a deeper understanding of Christ while one of these pastors, awesome, then that, praise God. But Jesus is the one who saved you. Jesus is the one who went up on the cross and took your sins and my sins upon you, raised up so that we might gaze upon him, dying for you, taking your sins and mine upon him out of love, not to condemn, not to bring death, but to bring life, to bring eternal life, to give us that gift. And we can't put conditions on how that gift manifests in us. We can be scared, but we can trust. And we can pray. And so my appeal to you is look to Jesus. Have that faith. Look up. It doesn't make sense. Sometimes. Whether it's that situation or some other situation that you're going through, have faith. Look up to Jesus. He's the one that's been raised for us. Do you believe that? And so I ask you, friends, and friends, I mean that. We have labored together. We have sometimes cried together. We've sometimes had joy together. We've sometimes, we've laughed together. Even this morning. But friends, have faith. And if you don't have faith, ask God for faith. It's a spiritual gift. And it's beyond you sometimes. And God will give it. But especially pray for the process. Pray for the process. Pray that God would bring the right pastor. Not the pastor you want, but the right pastor for this church that you can work with. Pray for the bishop. Pray for the district superintendent. Pray for the cabinet that works on putting those pastors in churches. Pray that Jesus would continue to work in this place. Because Jesus wants to continue working in this place. He didn't come to bring death. He came to bring life. And that's the true for Orem's United Methodist Church as it is anywhere in this world. And pray for your pastor, whoever he or she may be. God knows. You know it. God knows that. Because they're going to need it, just as I've needed it. I've needed your prayers, and I covet your prayers, and I know whoever it is will do the same. But please, just give them a chance, and start doing that now by praying for them, blessing them. And have faith to gaze upon Jesus, trusting him to provide in all things. You know, sometimes I know it seems dark. I know it seems like the snakes are crawling all around you. But if the God who came in Jesus Christ is your Savior, you need not fear. Because perfect love, who is God, God is love, casts out fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. And so pray for faith and be made perfect in Him. And don't get hung up on the snakes of life. But trust that God will provide for life, not only for you, but for the community of believers. Trust him, gaze upon him, and he will give you life and life abundant. Have faith in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. God, we pray right now. We just pray right now for this whole process. We pray for this church, Lord. God, this is such a good church. These are such good servants, Lord. And I know that you love them, and I know that you want to give them that faith. And so, Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you would give them that, and that you would be with their pastor, their next pastor, whoever that is, Lord, that you would start pouring into their life, pouring blessings into their life so that they would know that they are loved and that there is a place being prepared for them. Let them know that this church is ready to go, and that you're calling the pastor, not just the bishop, not just the superintendent, not just the cabinet, but that you have called that pastor and that you are making a way for him or her here at Orem's. And God, we just ask that you bless them and bless these people who make up your body, Lord. Bless them. Give them the faith for whatever they need to face, whatever obstacle, whatever wilderness experience they're in now. Give them the faith to face that, Lord. We thank you, we praise you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.